A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 31, 2000, entitled, Of Angels, Songs in the Night, and Deep Human Intuition. The texts for the sermon are Galatians 4, verses 1 through 7, and Luke 2, verses 8 through 32. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
Well, we've done it again. Angels, Songs of the Night, a Jewish maiden visited by Gabriel, the Annunciation of a child to be born, conceived by the Spirit, a woman overshadowed, giving forth a son who was to be called Holy, the Son of God. We have sung the songs again, the beautiful carols. We've experienced the lump in the throat, and the catch in our voice. And we have looked at one another and loved one another and had that deep down intuition that after all is said and done, it is true that the final and ultimate reality is love, and at the core and center of things is a God who is the source and fountain of love, the ground and goal and guide of all that is. And we've seen that all in the flesh of a child. We understand that intuitively. Somehow or other, we grasp it as we celebrate this holy birth once again. We know the story is true. We know the fairy tale is true. We all love stories, don't we? I've told you before, I have such a vivid memory of loving the fairy tales of my childhood. I remember when I must have been 4 or 5 years old and I contracted scarlet fever. And in the dark ages when I was a child, I don't know what goes on today, but the house was put under quarantine. There was a sign on the door warning anyone who would approach. My father and my three sisters had to move out into the garage. But then what could my mother do? She couldn't leave me a motherless child, and so she had to put up with me over, a week or 10 days. And she read me stories, The Gingerbread Man, Jack and a Beanstalk, Little Red Riding Hood, all those stories. And she would get so weary, I know now, and she would try on occasion to skip a page or two by turning two at a time. And I would catch her, of course, because I knew the stories by heart. They were always the same. But they were always wonderful, and they always gave that same impact. Fairy tales are true, you know. They're true deep down about the nature of life. You take a fairy tale, and you look at some of the favorite childhood tales. They're not all sweetness and light at all. They have violence in them. They have darkness in them. They have dragons. They have princesses locked up in castle towers and all of that kind of thing. If you go to Marshall Fields in Chicago right now, you can see the magnificent windows downtown that they always decorate at this season of the year. And who makes the cut this year? It's Harry Potter. And we hear so much discussion about what a wonderful phenomenon this is, that our children are reading again. And it's not too unusual to see children going down the hallway in school, I understand, like this, you know. Someone should tell them that the Greek philosopher Demosthenes fell into a pit doing this. But the point is that these stories are wonderful, and we all get caught up in stories. But the stories, you see, are posited on the premise that there is some meaning and purpose, that things mean something, that things fit together, that that things go somewhere. And so I think we love stories because we find ourselves in the stories, and it gives us finally that sense. Well, the wonderful, wonderful fairy tales. Once upon a time. All I have to do is say those words, and don't you feel all sorts of warm associations? Once upon a time. Or it came to pass. And then, of course, the wonderful final line, and they lived happily ever after. Well, you see, that may sound naive, but I'm not being silly this morning. The fairy tale and the fact that we love it, the fact that it starts out in some time whenever, and the fact that it ends with people living happily ever after, is posited on a whole world and life view, a whole sense of reality, and that is that things make sense, and that finally, ultimately, things will work out. And that finally there's a positive purpose at work in the total mix of things. Fairy tales are loved, I believe, because they convey that to us. And we love them because, I'm going to suggest, that touches something deep within us, some deep human intuition. And the Christmas story is certainly an example. It's not a fairy tale like the gingerbread boy. We're talking about a real concrete human birth and a real concrete moment of history in a particular place amongst a particular people. But all the accoutrements with which the story is clothed are those marvelous accoutrements of the imagination, the poetic sense, that's trying to bring to expression the deepest, deepest truth that came to expression in that child, in that life, in that ministry, and all of those wonderful garments in which the story is cast, of angels and songs in the night, of kneeling shepherds and adoring kings. All of those are retrojected back to that holy birth of that one who in his humanity caused people to kneel and to say, "My God." There, they said, is the clue to the meaning of the universe. There is a window on the core of reality. There is an insight into the best of human life. And so they told the story with angels and shepherds and kings. A night sky illumined by a star, and glorious angelic anthems. And they told it all, dressed marvelously in those garments, in order to give expression to what was their deepest conviction. And that was that what came to expression in the flesh of this one was a projection of that which was at the heart of things. That this one was the embodiment of God, that this one in flesh, that which was true deep down about the nature of reality. I happened to, I got a call from my daughter about a television program this past week. It ended up actually to be an infomercial But the reason the call came is that there were a couple of familiar faces that showed up there. Amy Jill Levine, who's been here, you remember Amy Jill, the Jewish scholar, and Dom Crossan. And come to find out, this was a program which was sold to the network by the Coral Ridge Ministries. And when I saw Amy Jill Levine, and then I saw Dom Crossan, and then I saw DJ James Kennedy, I knew that either the millennium had come or there was something operative here. And as a matter of fact, this was a Coral Ridge Ministry effort to tell the story of Christmas, but there was that which I could identify with so completely from my past. There was this anxious effort to prove that it was all true. And the scholars that were selected were some mainline scholars like Dom Crossan and Amy Jill Levine, Herbert Helmut Custer, and others. And it was so interesting to watch how the whole thing was stacked, how their sentences were selected out and used to make a certain point, and then the truth was told. And I thought to myself, I could see myself and my past when I so much worried that it really happened in Bethlehem, or those annual trotting out of the astronomy stories about the constellations and whether or not the taxation under Quirinius was really at that particular time, and all of those little details that were so important in order to make it true. I remember those days. It's been a painful journey to be able to get beyond all of that and to celebrate it as a story, as a wonderful story, which at its heart has the deepest trust, the deepest intuition that at the center of reality is the pulsating abyss of love. Ah, you say Christmas once a year, a naive little story, but you got to remember that intuition that spied in this child grown to adulthood in the person of Jesus Christ, the intuition that saw in him what the story says, was an intuition that arose in the darkest of times. It was brutal Herod's reign. It was the time of Caesar Augustus. It was the time of tramping Roman legions. It was not a good time. It was not all sweetness and light for the people to whom he came. He was to be a savior and a deliverer from a life that was tough and rough and pervaded by darkness. And so we've just celebrated the story again with all of its wonder and all of its joy, and you say, well, we can put it away. It's a nice story, it's naive, however, because just this past week, 6 or 7 murders in Connecticut and 1 shot and 6 or 7 in Philadelphia a day or two ago, and one of the anti-Palestinian Orthodox rabbis shot last night in Jerusalem, and the peace process going nowhere, and the Palestinians being encouraged to step up the infidada in order to find somehow or other some freedom, some independence in that seemingly implacable impasse of ancient feud and violence. You say, ah, nice story. I say, yes, yes, yes. I believe it. I believe it in the face of all the evidence to the contrary. And all the evidence to the contrary only convinces me more deeply But the story is true. And I don't know when and I don't know how, but I do know that love is stronger than hate. And light prevails over darkness. And I do believe the story is true. Angels and songs in the night, all of the garments of this wonderful, wonderful story. And it meets the deepest human intuition. And by God, it's true.